This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Samantha Watson. The Alaska Senate passed a bill yesterday that would once again offer state and local government employees a pension, putting it on the verge of heading to Governor Mike Dunleavy's desk. The bill is a longtime priority for many members of the bipartisan coalitions controlling the House and Senate. The House passed it last year. Senator Kathy Giesel, an Anchorage Republican who spearheaded the effort in the Senate, says Alaska's public workforce has eroded in the two decades since the state closed its pension system.
Every other state offers a pension for at least some of their public servants. We do not. And we are seeing the results. We ask our public employees to do difficult work, often in hardest conditions. The question is whether we will give them a reason to build a career here.
House Bill 78 would allow current employees and new hires to choose between the existing 401k-like defined contribution plan and a new defined benefit pension plan. The change would cost the state an average of $89 million annually, according to the state's actuary. But backers say the potential savings on things like overtime are much larger. Amendments to the Senate floor reduced the amount that local governments would have to contribute to the pension, but left them the option to opt out. The vote in the Senate was 12-8, with two members of the bipartisan Senate majority, Republican Senator Bert Stedman and the Democratic Senator Lyman Hoffman, joining the all-Republican minority to oppose the bill. Stedman, a Sitka Republican, said he was concerned returning to a pension would risk the state's financial future. Alaska is still paying off billions of dollars, linked to an actuarial error that doomed the prior pension system in the early 2000s. Stedman says there's a much more direct way to solve Alaska's issues with hiring and retaining government employees. Pay them more.
So Washington average teacher makes $96,000. We're trying to get him up here for $81,000 with a higher cost of living. It's a difficult thing to do. Retirement system makes no difference. It's salaries.
Legislators have tried dozens of times over the past 20 years to reinstate a pension system. Today's vote brings it closer than ever to becoming a reality. A House concurrence vote accepted tomorrow would send it to the governor. Governor Mike Dunleavy's office won't say whether the governor plans to sign or veto the bill. He expressed skepticism of a pension plan in 2024 as the legislature considered a similar bill. The Bureau of Land Management will convey more than 1,000 acres of land to an Alaska Native corporation that intends to mine it, the agency announced earlier this month. The parcel is near Flat, a ghost town in western Alaska that lies just north of the proposed Donlin Gold project. Doyon spokesperson Cheyenne Kupluk said in an email that the corporation started exploring the land's material potential in the 1970s and is now working with Canadian mining company Tectonic Metals. The corporation plans to begin a large exploration drilling program this year. Environmental groups say they're monitoring the situation. In an emailed statement, Northern Alaska Environmental Center President Crystal Lapp encouraged transparency for such projects and said it was, quote, important for the public to understand how land ownership changes and can shape long-term decisions about development, conservation, and subsistence resources, end quote. Federal officials say the land transfer was a legal obligation under the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, which gives Alaska Native corporations the right to select millions of acres of federal land, and that it was not related to recent executive orders seeking to advance mining and oil development in Alaska. Last year's federal budget reconciliation bill included billions of dollars for aviation improvements around the country, including many new weather stations in Alaska. But with construction season just around the corner, the Alaska Desk's Alonia Nyden reports that it's still unclear where those new stations will be.
Last year, a new pot of federal funding promised to bring more than 160 weather stations to Alaska to make flying safer in a state that's long seen a high rate of deadly plane crashes. Aviation experts and air carriers say they expect to see some of the new weather stations come online this summer. But the Federal Aviation Administration has not said where those stations will be. Dan Nisek is the president of Grand Aviation. He says that information would help companies make sure they have all the approvals they will need to use the new stations.
It's building season pretty soon here. My hope is that the transparency will continue and that we will see a list of actual project sites for this year and the upcoming years as soon as possible so we can make sure that we're ready for when those are in place.
Last July, the budget reconciliation bill, known as the Big Beautiful Bill, included more than $12 billion for aviation improvements across the country. Much of that money will pay for the new weather stations, ranging from weather cameras to more complex stations that include suites of sensors. In Alaska, the FAA partnered with air carriers and transportation experts to decide which communities most need the new weather stations. Michael Jones, an economist with the University of Alaska Anchorage, was a part of that work. He researched how gaps in weather reporting affect flights and food security in villages.
There are many places in Alaska that have well over 2,000 or 3,000 pounds of freight and mail delivered per person annually. And so those end up being pretty high priority areas.
Jones says the working group also prioritized coastal villages that tend to have low visibility and places where medevac flights are more challenging. He says the group submitted those recommendations to the FAA. Cole Pope manages weather camera program for the FAA. He says the agency is not planning to release where they plan to install the new weather cameras because
those sites could change a little bit.
Pope says that the goal is to bring weather cameras to places like remote villages and flight routes where there are gaps in weather reporting.
So we're not putting cameras at Anchorage International Airport per se. They're not needed there, but they're needed in flight routes, mountain passes, smaller airports where there's no other weather information, that kind of thing.
But there are clues about where some new weather stations will go. The Alaska Department of Public Transportation and Public Facilities has released public notices for new leases at several airports that mention installing or improving weather stations in the YK Delta, the Interior, the Aleutians, and Kodiak. There is also one in Willow in South Central Alaska. It is also unclear how the new weather stations will be maintained. Last summer, the FAA said the bill primarily funds new installations and upgrades, not maintenance. Weather experts have said that on any given day, 10 to 15% of Alaska's aviation weather stations are down or not fully working. Adam White with the Alaska Airmen's Association says a lack of funding for weather station repairs has been a long-time frustration.
The focus of what we're seeing here recently is expansion of infrastructure and new infrastructure, not necessarily how do we maintain what we currently have.
But overall, White says that the aviation provisions in the bill are desperately needed across Alaska.
It's going to make life a lot safer.
The FAA plans to install about 64 weather cameras and many of the new weather stations by the end of the 2028. In Anchorage, I am Alona Naiden.
This is KYUK News. I'm Samantha Watson. Koyana for listening. Please share your news tips, comments, or suggestions. You can email us at news@kyuk.org or message us on Facebook. And stay tuned for Yugtun Gnomchit coming up.